What's up, everybody? New single from the Slackademics out, this one called Our Own Island.
Nothing to phone home about. You're just waiting for Godot. We're on our own little island. Tracy was in the sand.
This vibey reggae track is written by our drummer, Josh. Good job, Josh. I love this song, and honestly, it might be the most fun song we have to play live. Sadly, that doesn't help me understand what the lyrics are about or anything like that. Please give the track a listen and a share on the streamer of your choice. As I've mentioned before, the new Slackademics album, Pass Fail, comes out in April, but you can already pre-order it. Just $10 on our Bandcamp page. And the next Bandcamp Friday is March 6th, which means we don't have to pay Bandcamp any of their cut. On that capitalistic note, let's listen to the soothing sounds of one of our trumpet players, Max. Max, Max.
But there's no one, no one to see you through.
If you know this,
like, how do I?
Where are you from?
How do I not know this? What do you mean? All of that. You know how many years I was in higher education study? Okay. Anyways, go ahead.
Is that like a music thing?
No, no, no. It's just stupid English.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that. My studio art degree.
Yeah. And psychology.
And psychology
degree.
Yeah. For
Don't
sure.
Forget. Want to do the honors?
It's Christmas. It's Christmas time.
That's how we start podcasts, right? That's how we...
Hey, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Mark.
What are we going to talk about today, Mark?
No.
It's a sidetrack day.
And this is...
Never mind the music.
Yes. And it is a sidetrack day. We're obviously off track already. And it is Christmas time, though it's not. It's right before Thanksgiving. But if it's right before Thanksgiving, that means we're already... quite deep in the stores being decorated with winter holiday stuff.
I've already done all my Christmas shopping. Done.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Now, you're not into the Black Friday. The Black Friday deal is not worth it. You'd rather just be done.
No, because it's just a trick. It's just a corporate trick. If you shop all year, you can get cheaper things outside of Black Friday deals. It's a racket.
Listeners, please, if the ad you just heard was a Black Friday deal, please disregard and support the sponsors.
We love capitalism.
Yes.
Here at Nevermind the Music.
So we are talking about holiday stuff. We are talking about not just Christmas. We're talking about a few holidays, but mostly Christmas music on this sidetrack.
Yes.
Right? Just in time for you to hear a bunch of Christmas music at your Thanksgiving feast. Where are you at with Christmas music? Is it fair to say non-practicing Jew of our duo?
I consider myself Jewish, culturally Jewish.
Culture, right. So rich tradition, as maybe we'll talk about, of Jews and Christmas music. But yeah. Where are you at with Christmas and holiday music in general?
I never loved Christmas music until I had a kid. And then I get caught up in the magic of it. And now I kind of like Christmas music. How about you?
I'm not mad about Christmas music. Coming from the perspective of someone who spent all of college and grad school singing in choirs and going caroling and stuff, there's some songs that are fun, some songs that are less fun. I'm not mad about it. They're fine. It's not really my thing. I don't see in my future writing a lot of Christmas music.
No, it's not punk rock enough for you.
Or is it too punk rock for me?
Oh,
I don't know.
Man.
I mean, people can listen to our conversation with Alicia about what exactly is punk rock.
But I wonder if there's ever punk rock Christmas music.
100%. There's a Bad Religion Christmas album. There's a whole bunch.
Shut your mouth.
Of course there is. There's
That's funny.
There's a bunch of ironic Christmas music.
Yeah.
You know, that's anti-Christmas, so to speak, anti-capitalist, etc. We are doing the Uber list of holiday music. There are plenty of podcasts and other folks online that really take Christmas and holiday stuff seriously. We even have friend of the pod, Matt Kelly. You know, Matt Kelly, right? From Weird Algorithm, One Hit Thunder. Do we know about Christmas 365?
What is that?
He has a Christmas content podcast with a co-host.
What?
So shout out to Geekscape. Shout out to Christmas 365.
And they just do Christmas all year?
It's Christmas all year. I think it's seasonal. I'm not sure it's an every week all year round. But
because like how much could you talk about it?
Well, but oh, Nicole.
I'll have to really get into that.
There's like Christmas music episodes, Christmas movie episodes, Christmas whatever episodes. So shout out to that.
I'll have to check it out.
We are not that podcast, but I just want to put out there, our list is infallible.
There's no denying.
We are going to provide for you, listeners, the best Christmas playlist.
Yes.
This is not a top 10 or anything like that. We have different categories, so we're not ranking our favorite diva holiday songs or anything. We are giving you the perfect example of each different type of holiday song and complete infallibility, right?
Yes.
Nobody can argue, even people that have actual Christmas podcasts. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Let's go.
Can I have one ground rule though?
Okay. Yeah, sure. You're in charge.
When I say jingle bells, what does it make you think of?
I mean, I have a real episodic memory about like being in high school band playing Sleigh Ride and like.
Thank you. So you're not thinking of the song. You're thinking of the literal
like
percussion
actually
instrument.
The bells. Yes. I almost brought some.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't. So jingle bells, also known as sleigh bells. Mm-hmm. That's this sound. I kind of hate sleigh bells.
Yeah.
So
they're tinny.
They're kind of tinny sounding, you know, and they're kind of like in a bunch of Christmas music. But the reason I hate them, I have images of being in the ensemble I direct at my college and we have a box of percussion. And it's like when someone every time, every single rehearsal, someone has to bring the percussion box out and you just hear the rattling of these stupid sleigh bells. And I pulled this from YouTube. This is Kalani, the percussionist Kalani, demoing how to play them, but just listen behind his voice.
And then, of course, if you want to play a roll or shimmer effect, you can hold them up like this and shake them using a twisting motion of your wrist.
So allow me to clarify, all that junk you heard at the beginning was not him playing them.
No, it was just them existing.
He was holding the sleigh bells, and it sounds like this.
And then, of course, if you want to play a roll or shimmer effect, you can hold them up like this and shake them.
So I have a rule, okay?
Okay.
I have to limit my jingle bells or my sleigh bells consumption, all right?
I get it.
As much as I want to be annoyed by them, they are kind of an automatic Christmas button.
Yep.
Right? You put them in, things automatically sound Christmassy because you can imagine the sleigh with the reindeer pulling it, etc. Like, do you remember the song Ready or Not by the Fugees?
Yeah.
From 1996.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not.
Okay.
Good song, right?
I'm terrified of what's gonna happen next.
Is it a Christmas song?
Not yet.
How about now?
Again. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find.
It's like if there was a horror movie that Santa was a stalker, that would be the song attached to it.
It's not a Christmas song.
It's not a Christmas song.
So they're effective as a way of evoking the winter wonderland. However, they annoy me.
Sure.
So I am instituting a limit in this podcast.
Oh.
I'm only willing to hear 6 total instances of sleigh bells.
Okay.
And we've already heard 4, right? I play them alone. I play them noisy. Twice, so
what?
You could hear the comparison.
You ruined it.
And then we heard it a 4th time when I played it over the Fugees tune. That's so only 2 times that we're allowed to hear sleigh bells yet. So here's the rule. After 2 more times, when I've run out of my 6, the podcast is over.
What?
Discussion over. Okay?
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yeah, I guess, but I'm nervous because I have some really great song choices.
Okay.
I can't even recall if they have sleigh
6
bells or not.
Total instances. We've already burned 4 of them and we're only a few minutes in.
Okay.
Can we start?
Yeah, let's go, man.
All right. I'm going to go first.
Yeah, of course.
Best Thanksgiving song.
That's not even Christmas.
It's not even, but it's not even Thanksgiving yet. So we have
okay, I get it.
With everybody's like, why is there Christmas decorations up in September? Well, we have to address
we're part of the problem.
The other holidays in the area.
All right. Yeah.
So plenty of songs to choose from about family, togetherness,
mm-hmm.
gratitude, probably even arguing with your in-laws and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm going to just throw out there the Ohio Players from 1974.
Of course.
Classic funk band, Jive Turkey.
I've never heard that song before, but like it's very familiar. But I've never even heard of the Ohio Players.
Oh, you haven't heard? Yeah, they're like, yeah, the 70s, one of the funk bands,
that
right?
That makes sense.
Not as much pop. Like, mm-hmm. I think part of their deal was that the album covers were like banned or something. Or like, maybe not banned, but overly, let's just say for the 70s, overly sexual album art.
All right.
Like possibly naked or nearly naked women and things like that. But yeah, a good funk band and Jive Turkey, right?
Did they coin the phrase Jive Turkey?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I think Jive Turkey is existing slang.
And
that
they
has
just like appropriated it for this song.
Is it appropriation if it's just slang, like vernacular?
I don't know. I think like Thanksgiving and appropriation, I think that they go hand in hand, kind of.
That's true. Yeah.
So
this is
why.
A different kind of lecture, though.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to decolonize Thanksgiving.
I'm trying to get
quick.
Through some of the other holidays that are otherwise forgotten. So.
Sure.
New Year's.
Okay.
Best New Year's song.
I mean, Auld Lang Syne's a classic, but that's probably not where you're going.
Yeah, I got better.
Okay.
We already shouted out friend of the pod, Matt Kelly. Can I shout out his one-hit thunder co-host, Chris Fafalios?
I'm into it.
Chris Fafalios is in a band called Punchline.
Okay.
They have an entire Christmas album.
Shut your mouth.
All. They do. But this is not from that. This is from a couple full-length albums. This song is on it, but it's also originally on one of their regular albums called Lion. This came out in 2018.
Let's go.
It's called It's a New Year, Don't Be So Hard on Yourself. And this is a more earnest, more earnest example from me instead of Jive Turkey.
You never know, this could be your year. Won't be so hard on ourselves this year. Isn't that the point? Isn't that why we're all here? Don't be so hard on yourself this year.
That's very lovely. Is that Chris singing?
No. He might be singing backup vocals, but he's bass. He does sing lead. Everybody, a couple months ago, they have a new album that came out called Somewhere to Land. Shout out to that. It's excellent. And Chris has a couple really good lead vocals in it.
Nice.
So if you like that podcast, or even if you don't, if you like power pop, check them out. No, that's one of their guitar players.
Nice.
I think,
you're
Steve.
Really plugging.
I'm plugging. Should
Chris
I not be?
Chris and Matt. No, I think
I feel
it's
like
great.
I should. They have a New Year's song, dude, and it's good.
It's good. And I like the affirmative qualities of it. And I think we're too hard on ourselves generally. So like I'm pro.
I think
I'm pro that.
I think it's a good message.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tap to you? You ready?
Yeah, I'm been ready.
So we've got best old banger. You're never mad about hearing when it shows up.
Okay. And you want me to like do some exposition on the song before I reveal the song? Is that what you'd like me to do?
You can if you want. By the way, I never asked, do you have a really good New Year's song?
I don't.
Aside from Auld Lang Syne?
No.
Besides all, how do you say that?
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne. Okay. What do you got?
Okay. I really love, for our best like classic Christmas song for me that I never hate hearing, is Christmas parentheses Baby Please Come Home and parentheses by Darlene Love. But there's a specific version of it that I'm really interested in because I love covers of Christmas music. I love different iterations of Christmas songs. And one specifically, I've been rewatching Ted Lasso. I just think it's a really great show.
Speaking of things having like positive affirmations.
Right. It just like makes me feel good. Hannah Waddington plays a character in Ted Lasso. And there's a Christmas episode where it's a Christmas and they're like doing good deeds and Ted's separated from his family and he's feeling kind of down about it and she cheers him up and they run into this band performing on the street and she takes the mic and starts singing this song and it's like all of a sudden she has like the amazing singing voice and it just kind of comes out of nowhere and her version's really, really great and I love it because Jason Sudeikis sings along too in a Doobie Brothers type of voice. Like, as how do like
I not
chorus,
remember this? I mean, I watched the whole show.
It's so good. I sent you a clip of it.
All right, let's listen.
Okay. Dressing in Deck the Hall, but it ain't like Christmas at all. As I remember when you were here, and all the fun that we had last year. Pretty lights on the trees, oh, watch them shine. Oh, you should be.
Wow, she's got a killer voice.
She has such an amazing voice.
Sudeikis doesn't sound bad. And I can see it's like a low Michael McDonald.
Yes.
Kind of.
And it's just funny. It contrasts her performance in a way that I find really entertaining. And she has a whole album, a whole special of her singing Christmas music in like really glammed out outfits.
Wow.
Because they just realized her voice was so velvety and it's such like a nice tone to attach to these like old standards.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like a feel-good moment in that show. And I like how this Christmas song isn't super played out. You know, it has,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
I agree.
Like something you hear all the time. So when you hear it, it like feels a little bit different. So
that's the old banger you're never mad about hearing.
Never mad about
For
it.
For me, Jingle Bell Rock and Winter Wonderland are like that. Like
okay.
I'm never tired of them. They're
yeah.
just always kind of, they're vibey in a good way. Cool.
I
agree. I think that's a good moment. All right, best modern classic from a Christmas film.
Okay.
Have you seen The Nightmare Before Christmas from 1993?
Yes.
Tim Burton.
Yes.
Yes. Any ideas where I'm going with this? Which song? Some of them are kind of Halloween-y, right?
It's like, that's the old thing. Is it a Christmas movie or a Halloween
that's
movie?
That's why I like it. And that's why I like that era, 80s and early 90s Tim Burton, is because everything is like the mix of the snowy whimsy with also creepy.
Yeah,
right?
I love it.
And...
is it What's This?
What's This?
Is it?
It's What's This.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead.
Were there jingles in that?
Absolutely jingle. So that's five. We've got one more jingle. This podcast abruptly ends, but I love it. Danny Elfman written music. Danny
yep.
Elfman from not only a lot of film music and The Simpsons and all that, but Oingo Boingo, where I first, you know Oingo Boingo?
I know that you've got to be a fan of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. 80s like new wave
for sure.
Weirdness started out as a performance art group. He's also the voice of Jack Skellington, right? And
oh, that's
so he's
cool.
got a good sort of theatrical voice. It's just cool. It blends a lot of, I just like it.
And it's like a great, you know, early on when you're like scratching for a holiday movie, but it's too soon.
Mm.
You can get away with Nightmare Before Christmas.
You can watch that in November.
And like it's
right
still,
after Halloween. Yep.
It totally. Still scratches the itch and like feels like appropriate.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Best song set at Christmas that's not really about Christmas.
Best song set at Christmas that's not really about Christmas.
And I think River by Joni Mitchell is one that people sometimes mention because it makes a lot of references seasonally and stuff.
I don't know.
I've got The Civil Wars, Tracks in the Snow.
Oh, I love The Civil Wars. I haven't thought about them for years.
Yeah, not just from the Taylor collab on Safe and Sound. That was like my daughter's favorite song for like a year, by the way.
How
but
funny. No,
beautiful sort
yeah.
of folk Americana stuff, which seems like your vibe.
Oh, I loved that. In college, I got really into The Civil Wars.
And I think this is definitely, they're making Tracks in the Snow and she's holding a gift wrapped in scarlet bow, that kind of thing. It's very much Christmas, but... it's like a melancholy love song.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, it's not about Christmas, but it's set in Christmas and it's beautiful.
The weather depends, everyone's waiting. But that's not the reason I'm making these tracks in the snow. There's a box in my hands as I go. Wrapped up in scarlet gold for you.
Very Christmas adjacent, very as the kids would say, Christmas coated.
But not about Christmas.
It's not like about Christmas, but they're so good.
Yeah.
We need to be listening to them more for sure.
I don't think they're a thing anymore.
Did they, were they a couple or something? There was just two of them, right?
Well, there were just two of them. I don't think they were a couple, but they were the Civil Wars. And case in point, the Safe and Sound, the original collaboration is Taylor Swift with Civil Wars. But when they did the Taylor's version of it, it's Taylor Swift with their names individually, not the Civil Wars anymore. So I think they're not a band anymore, but
I wonder what happened.
I don't know. There's
no way
there's
to
a
know.
Story there. There's future seasons that maybe
no,
we listen
no
to
way
them.
To tell, really.
No way to find out. Yeah.
Nope.
Best 80s new wave pop band original Christmas song. Yours. Go.
No surprise. Mark's a fan. Last Christmas by the English pop duo Wham.
Yeah. You created a category.
I did.
I like this song.
Yep.
I like Wham. I like George Michael. I don't know them. I don't know Wham very well. Is this new wave? I see you there brandishing your new terms that you got from the Blondie episode.
Right.
This is just pop.
No, dude. I looked it up and I asked the bots. I was like, is this a new wave song? Because I knew you were going to come at me for it. And they said yes. They said yes.
Okay. I feel like new wave. Everybody, listen to our previous conversation about this. There's a punk edge that maybe is missing, a quirkiness, but yeah, this is a pretty cool song.
And you know, interesting fact about the song Last Christmas is it spent 5 weeks at number two on the UK singles chart, and it was beaten by Do You Know It's Christmas, which is also performed by George Michael. So he like outranked himself on the charts with the Do They Know It's Christmas.
Do They Know It's Christmas? Did George Michael do a cover? Or is George Michael just in the song? Do you know, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yeah, it's like a We Are the World.
It's like
vibe.
A We Are the World, but British a couple years earlier.
Well, he's credited with that song.
Is he in that? I don't really, I haven't listened to that in years. Folks, listeners, I don't do like deep dives of the charity music, though that, did you end up seeing the,
I haven't watched it yet.
What is it called? The Greatest Nine in Pop?
No.
It's a good documentary.
Have you watched the Folklore documentary yet?
Damn it. No.
No. So, okay.
And I said I would watch it. Did I? Actually, maybe I didn't say I'd watch it.
Yes, you did.
Okay,
you're like, I gotta check that out.
I need to watch it.
A couple times.
So, I don't know.
But also, speaking of Folklore, I'm so glad you brought up Taylor Swift. Because she did a cover of this song. And it's like really lovely. It's from her like earlier days. And I like covers quite a bit. If you've been listening, you recognize that. So I'd love for you to play a clip of Taylor Swift's version because it's notably not new wave. And that's the clip I sent you.
Oh, we're not doing George Michael. Oh, and by the way, I was totally listening to you. But I also looked. Yeah, he was just in Band-Aid.
Okay,
he was
in
Do They Know It's Christmas. That is a fun fact that he replaced himself.
Right, fun fact. I'm trying to bring some fun facts to the table here today.
Taylor Swift. Last Christmas. This is not 80s new wave. This is mid 2010s.
No, it's an interpolation or a cover. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Definitely early Taylor, really country pop vibes there, but it's just a nice version of that song that like really goes against that like new wave moment that the original has.
I'm sure she'd be thrilled to have won best 80s new wave pop band original Christmas song.
It goes to Taylor Swift yet again, a new record.
So I alluded to this a little bit before. Best Christmas standard written by a Jew.
Oh.
And the cool thing about this is it's all of them, actually.
Yeah.
That's not who's winning the award, but Walking in a Winter Wonderland is by Felix Bernard and Richard B. Smith. Rudolph, like all the songs in the Rudolph movie.
Wow.
Were not the same composer.
I've Chestnuts never Roasting. I've never seen it.
You've never saw Rudolph Red Nosed Reindeer? Yeah, wow. It's good. Stop motion. Christmas, Chestnuts Roasting on the Open Fire. Silver Bells. Let It Snow. You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, I do love the Mr. Grinches.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Baby, written by Jewish songwriters.
Huh.
But the one that wins, Irving Berlin, wrote it in 1942. Russian Jewish immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most famous version, Bing Crosby, 1945, White Christmas.
of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten.
That, like, feels like quintessential Christmas to me.
Yeah.
And, like, a little racist, right?
A white Christmas? I don't think that's what they're talking about. Probably they're talking about snow.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Or, like, cocaine.
That's it. Cocaine. Okay. All right.
We don't know.
We don't know. I don't know. Actually, I don't know that much about Irving Berlin. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like legal back, maybe not in the 40s, but back in the early 20th century, it was in Coca-Cola.
Someone thought of that before.
Good melodies. All those songs have such good tunes, you know?
And they're like comforting.
Very comforting.
In like a very nostalgic way.
And in a lot of ways, I think a lot of what those ones have in common, so many of them are overtly about Christmas, but it's the pivot from like a Christmas carol to a pop song Christmas song that's secular, right? The sort of secularization of Christmas probably is an early 20th century thing. And we go from Silent Night being the ones that everybody's playing or singing along to like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is what you're singing as a kid,
right? It feels more like general, like all purpose.
And there are also more pop songs as opposed to like traditional. So
cool.
So on that note, I said I sang a lot of Christmas music at concerts in college and stuff.
Yeah.
Every concert has one token Hanukkah song.
Okay.
One. So we've got best token Hanukkah song on our list. And do you, someone who grew up at least culturally Jewish, do you know a lot of bangers that are Hanukkah?
No, dude. It really like the Adam Sandler song.
Right. Put on your yarmulke, celebrate Hanukkah. Yeah, everybody should hear it.
Yep. No,
not that many mainstream ones.
I'm
at least
like
not
searching
in America.
The databases of my brain, and like, you know, I am culturally Jewish, and there's not many that are coming to the forefront here.
Can I send you one?
Yeah,
Light One Candle, 1986, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Never heard it.
Peter is Jewish, and this is actually it's mid '80s, but it's a Hanukkah song. Very much talks about the Maccabees and all that stuff, but it's sort of a peace anthem.
Okay.
Right, written in response to the 1982 Lebanon War with Israel and then sort of the Palestinian groups within Lebanon at that point. So take a listen.
Light one candle for the terrible sacrifice of justice and freedom to man. But light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand. Don't let the light go out, it's lasted for so many years.
What a bummer, dude.
What do you mean?
It's like lovely because it's about peace, but I don't know.
I mean, it's a bummer that how many years later they're still doing it. But like, I think the Hanukkah story is a lot of war story, right? And perseverance in war. And this is a sort of peace response to that. Like, glory are the people that, you know, defend. But isn't it better if we
don't need defending?
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. Can I lighten things up a little bit?
Best classic Christmas song performed by a New Jersey-based rock band?
No, actually, the category here is best classic Christmas song performed by a New Jersey-based rock band whose guitarist was also in The Sopranos.
In The Sopranos being the show?
Yes.
Was the guitarist of Bon Jovi in Sopranos? I'm trying to think, like, Is it Springsteen or Bon Jovi? Those are my New Jersey bands. What do you got?
It's going to be Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Sweet.
Doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is the penultimate version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
What do you mean penultimate?
I don't know. I think
second to last?
No, did they like claim? I don't even know. I just like use big words to sound smart, but I don't think I know what they mean.
Penultimate means the second to the last.
Then that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like the most iconic or the best. I don't know what a smart word.
You could just say the ultimate.
The ultimate. Not penultimate.
Do you want to leave that in?
I don't care. Do you want to just say it again? Do whatever you want. I'm just here.
Okay.
It is my ultimate. This is my favorite Christmas song.
Fun fact, listeners.
Yes.
Ultimate is the last. Penultimate is the second to last. Antepenultimate is the third to last.
How do you, know this? Like, how where are you from?
How do I not know this? What do you mean? All of that. You know how many years I was in higher education study? Okay. Anyways, go ahead.
Is that like a music thing?
No, no, no. It's just stupid English.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that. My studio art degree.
Yeah. And psychology.
And psychology, for sure. So whatever, Mark. All this to say, this is my favorite Christmas song of all time. Covered by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Never recorded a polished studio version. The version that we're going to hear and that we all know and love was from a live recording in December of 1975 at a college in New York. And you can hear the E Street Band messing around, Bruce laughing. The live cut was so iconic that it ended up on like a Sesame Street compilation in 1981 for like really great music. It was also on a B-side to Springsteen's single My Hometown. So more fun facts about this song for you. But it's just great. It's a great tune. I hope it doesn't have jingle bells in it.
Because then we're done? No.
Because then we're done.
No, the smirk is because you said 1970 what? Because this says live in Houston, 1978. The link you sent me to
play. Well, whatever. Well, maybe he performed it again, but it was first performed in 1975.
In 1970 something.
Better be good for goodness sake.
Yeah. Watch out, you better not cry.
Always got to include some muscly sax solo.
Muscly sax solo there. It's so good. Like the how he changes up the melody a little bit and like changes the rhythm. It's good.
Yeah, it's totally good. Maybe we should talk about Springsteen another time.
I'd love that.
Almost done here. Our ultimate list.
This actually might be the penultimate list.
All right. I've got a few more. Do you have a few more to go?
Yeah, I have some more.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Best, still awesome, lazy repurposing of an earlier song.
Best, but still awesome, lazy repurposing. Okay. Christmas song? Just because it says December?
Well, it doesn't normally say December. You don't know that?
Oh, because September.
September, yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire, September from 1978. In 2014.
What?
They did a version, they did a whole holiday album called Holiday, and basically they just changed
swapped it out.
All the words September. Huh. Pro tip when you're trying to swap words, listeners, from a songwriter to you. December and September rhyme.
Yeah, it was
so
very
all you have
easy.
To do, and they're the same number of syllables. Just swap them in. There's no content.
I couldn't even tell the difference. I was like, "What
it's
is
the
this
same?"
About?
Except 25th night in December instead of what is it? 21st night in September.
Yeah.
Awesome song. I do think it's a different vocalist. I think that's Philip Bailey on that. I think Maurice White, even though he hadn't passed yet, I think he wasn't in the band at that point.
No, he didn't
but
have it.
This is the like laziest but still awesome.
It's still awesome.
Ever since Monster's Holiday by Bobby Boris Pickett, which, you know,
which everyone knows,
which is the Monster Mash except about Christmas.
Oh,
which
I'd love to
another
hear that
shout
one.
Out. One Hit Thunder had a whole spiel about that. I'm sorry.
One Hit Thunder is stealing our multi-hit thunder.
So, like, because they have a whole thing on the Monster Mash and there's like the Monster Holiday, the Monster Easter. Like they just kept
Monster
doing
Easter,
kept churning
like
them out.
Zombie Jesus.
Okay, so exactly, that's right. Yeah, I got a few more, but I'll go one more and then let's tap
yeah,
you.
Yeah, great.
Okay, best actual Christmas carol.
Okay,
actual, like older than the '40s. You know, like been around a while,
like Christmas standard
tunes.
Almost.
more than, because White Christmas is a standard now, but it's like a jazz standard or a pop standard. This is, that's the American song, but this is like Ukrainian, you know, like it, and it actually is, right?
Okay.
So Ukrainian composer Mykola Leontovich wrote before, no later than 1916.
Can I guess what it is?
Yes.
Is it Carol of the Bells?
It is Carol of the Bells.
Because I had this in one of my categories, best old Christmas song used in an early 2000s movie about a boy being left home alone.
You mean an early 90s movie about a boy being...
Sorry.
Yes. Well, did you look at my notes? Because yes, so the English lyrics were a little later, more like in the era, White Christmas era, written by another Ukrainian, Peter Wilowski. But this happens to be the John Williams arrangement from Home Alone,
yes,
which is not
classic.
Early 2000s, but early somethings. Carol of the Bells, which I have sang in many a choir.
I believe it's just
awesome. Good triple meter, like repeating little riffs in the vocals. So cool.
You did the ding dong part, didn't you?
I usually sing tenor in the choir. I think there's a lot of ding dong, ding dong in the tenor part. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, not the melody. The melody would be the women usually, or the sopranos
castratos.
At least. The castrati. Not a lot of castrati in the Southern California university system. All right, so moving on. A few more to get to.
Okay.
Best passive aggressive problematic Christmas song sung by a pop diva. You want to take this one?
Yeah, I do. There's a version of a very iconic, classic Christmas song that I find to be pretty problematic. It's a duet between a major pop icon and Justin Bieber, who at the time of production of this duet cover or interpolation of the original, was only 17 years old. So it's kind of creepy that she's singing to him. Also, it's passive aggressive because it's implying that...
Wait, did you say you were 17 years old?
No, Justin Bieber was 17 years old.
I was like, when you were 17 years old, Bieber was not doing songs.
No, he was
on
like
YouTube,
in utero, probably. Yeah. I'm sure. Also, I think this is like a passive aggressive song because it's implying that the present that she's getting for Christmas isn't good enough, but like you're the present. So I sent you a clip. Can you play it? It's a really specific version of this iconic song.
Opening it up.
Okay.
Oh boy, I can see it, listeners. Super festive version, they call it.
So one thing I really love about the song is like Justin Bieber kind of inputting himself into the Mariah Carey version when she's so iconic. I mean, we talked about her for like hours earlier in the season, especially about her whistle note and emotion. And in this song, there's that whistle note too. You can hear it really distinctly, but Justin can't get there.
That's all well and good, but I heard sleigh bells, Nicole.
Nevermind the Music is hosted by Nicole Vatra and hosted and produced by Mark Poppany. You can email us at nevermusicpod@gmail.com and give us a follow on social media. Nevermind the Music is also part of the Lorehounds Network. Please join the conversation on their Discord server. Thanks for listening.